Hi, it's Stu Zimmerman with Inside Wealth, merging your self-worth with your net worth right here on Talk 910 KNEW San Francisco. We're here with Azeem Jamal. He's known as the Corporate Sufi, who's a management consultant literally around the world, an executive coach. And he's been taking this unique and thought-provoking message of spiritual abundance and material abundance and really merging the two. And how does that play around the world? Is this something that is more accessible in other countries than it is here, perhaps, Azeem?
I don't think so. You know, the more you travel, the more you realize that the essence of people is the same, right? I mean, of course, there are different cultures, different styles, different backgrounds. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all human beings, and we have a deeper desire inside us to create positive change, you know, and that's why that's something that's inherent in all human beings. And I think that's the connector between all people.
And are you finding that even here in the States or in North America, that this notion of spiritual abundance and happiness combined with that heart-centered or principle-centered mindset is something that people are open to and are actively wanting to make greater strides in?
I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, there's many, even the book, The Firms of Endearment, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they, in their research, I did a little bit about 30 corporations, and they identified that 30 corporations did 8 times better than the S&P 500 index for the 10 years ending June 30, 2006. And if you look at what these firms of endearment were about, the core principles were humanistic principles, you know, which had at the center something more than just material, right? And I think, you know, every human being, you know, is hardwired inside them to be able to give, create change. And when you're able to ignite that spark within them, there's much more impact and much more potential to do better in their lives because they're able to tap into their genius inside them.
So then when we're talking about this genius inside them and we're talking about this sense of abundance from within, how is that being, you know, how is that being brought forth through a company? Is it in their culture? Is it in a philanthropy policy? What are you seeing in terms of the ways in which this can be grounded, communicated, and put into action?
I think many times it starts with a leader in the company, but, you know, it's a culture that is created within the company, but everybody feels that way. I mean, there are many examples. If you look at, you know, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, for example, started many years ago as a private company. I think it's still a private company, and it's you know, it went from a small business to a $9 billion worth. And if you look at, you know, some of the things they do, the 8 things that they have as their motto or something, if you look at it, well, it's all about giving something, right? Listening to your customer, making sure they talk about the big difference between being satisfied and a completely satisfied customer. When a customer is completely satisfied, there's a different kind of energy, different kind of impact, different kind of, you know, word of mouth, et cetera, that triggers in. So when 9/11 happened, for example, Enterprise Rent-A-Car gave away 5,000 cars to people who were stuck, and they didn't get the car back for months on end. But they did it because it was in their, you know, in their culture to give and make a difference and show to the people that we care. Yes, profit is very important, but ultimately, when you start showing that you care, you get it back one way or the other. I mean, if you look at Starbucks, I mean, I know right recently they're struggling in Seattle and selling coffee for a buck, but generally their success, if you look at it, is creating a good experience for the customer. The employees are more like partners. You know, if somebody is waiting outside and their store is not opened yet because the guy is early or a girl is early, they'll open the store to just let the customer in because they believe in, you know, in being flexible and allowing the customer to feel important. And all these things are part of many, many companies who have realized that, you know, it's when you start giving and creating that culture that you create an environment where people thrive and excel.
Again, we're here with Azeem Jamal. And so, Azeem, what do you think? I mean, you think we're at a crossroads here, you know, because it does seem that there has been a legacy of business where it's all about the numbers. And you know that as an accountant better than anybody. And we are amassing more and more information and data to support this notion of a vibrant culture, one of giving, one of caring, dedication to excellence of service, having a direct correlation to sustainable profitability
and outperforming peer groups and market share and all the rest. What do you think? I mean, do you think there's a possibility here that we could actually be taking through business, having business actually lead society in many ways to be a more giving, open-hearted, and this would be really ironic given the fact they're all about money in the first place, ostensibly, but that they can actually help to lead society to be more, you know, a culture of giving?
I think it's a great question, Stu, and I know one of my principles in corporate Sufi is really that I believe that corporations have the muscles, they have the power, they have the ability to create positive change. And so if they take, they become proactive and they become active in the whole area of wanting to make that change, yes, I mean, bottom line is profits. You can never, you know, without making profits, you can't help anybody. And that's why I marry corporate and Sufi, because a Sufi can learn from a corporate person. The Sufi is too laid back, you know, he's in meditation and more spiritual, but forgets about the corporate world, and he's too extreme in one way. And a corporate person is too extreme in the other way. But each can learn from the other, and if when they combine the two, what you have is somebody who's going to be able to sustain success, make be profitable, and then use that profits to create positive change. So I think this whole idea has a lot of merit. You know, it makes sense. People are wanting more than just outside, you know, external success. If you look at even Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, to a large extent, I mean, once they've made the money, now they're looking for something different, and that's where the foundation comes and the giving back comes. Because at the end, when you pass away from this world, you can't take anything with you. And so I think more and more people are realizing that, you know, that the real power is not outside you. The real power is inside you. I mean, external power is limited. Internal power is unlimited. You know, external power, somebody can take it away from you. Internal power is yours to keep, right? So the real power is not outside. The real power is inside.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Azeem, and that's what Inside Wealth is all about. We're saying the same thing, wealth, power. You can almost use the words interchangeably because you can have, as you pointed out with your quote, success without happiness is failure, that, you know, wealth is not a number. Mm-hmm. Wealth is something on the inside, just like power, as you talked about. It's really something from the inside. Mm-hmm. I want to drill down a little further on something you just said, however. Well, you know, when you talked about how, you know, if people like Gates and Buffett, who now, after having amassed billions of dollars of personal financial wealth, are becoming more aware of philanthropy and giving. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there is actually needs to be this chicken and egg type of, you know, sequence where... can't corporate profitability actually be empowered hand in hand with this culture of giving or vibrancy, and that it's not so much that they